Chapter 3. On Way with Mom. Dad's text flashed on Nevaeh's phone late Saturday morning. Like all his answers to her questions about Mom, his text seemed short and distant, almost as if it pained him to say anything about her. Was he angry about the cell phone argument she had with Mom? Nevaeh almost wished he was. At least there would be something to talk about. Instead, he had become a tight-lipped stranger ever since Mom went to the hospital. Last night, when she had asked about visiting Mom there with Christian, Dad refused outright. "No," he huffed, shaking his head and dropping a $20 bill on the table for her to buy pizza for dinner. "That hospital is no place for kids. Besides, Mom's tired from all the tests and doctors fussing over her. Let her rest. You guys can see her when she comes home." Dad didn't return from the hospital until late last night. Nevaeh had heard his keys jingling in the front doorway past midnight, and then she heard him leave again this morning, just as the sun was peeking through the blinds of her bedroom. His behavior planted a nervous knot in Nevaeh's stomach, one that twinged when she heard Dad's CRV suddenly pull up outside. "They're here," Nevaeh announced, shoving her phone into the pocket of her sweatpants. Christian tossed aside the Xbox controller and raced out the door in his socks. Mom rose heavily from the passenger seat. Dad hovered next to her as if she were made of glass and could shatter into 1,000 pieces if she were to fall. Without warning, Christian darted to Mom's midsection and threw his arms around her. Mom winced in pain. "Easy, Chris," Dad warned, trying to nudge him back, but Mom waved him off and squeezed Christian back. "It's okay, it's okay. I missed you too, baby," she said, rubbing his back. Watching them, Nevaeh felt a wave of shame for what had happened. She wished she had just handed the phone over when Mom first asked for it. "I'm sorry," she said, finally, barely able to look at her mother. "I didn't mean to. It's okay," Mom murmured in her ear, hugging her. Mom's breath felt like a soft feather. "I used to be a teenager too. I know how hard it is. Still, let's not do this again, you hear me?" she said, rubbing her back. Nevaeh nodded and closed her eyes. For a moment, she was a little girl again, nestled safe in her mother's arms. But when Mom gently let go, Nevaeh noticed her father. He looked tired and sad. His eyes almost seemed to glisten. "Come on, let's go inside," Dad urged. "It's been a long couple of days." "Amen," Mom replied, smiling weakly. Her father took Mom's arm and tried to lead her inside, but she waved his hand away. "Would you stop treating me like that? I can walk, see?" She then rushed awkwardly toward the house, nearly tripping at one point. When she reached the front step, she winced and trembled as she forced her body up the stairs, finally leaning on Dad for support on the top step.
"What happened, Mom?"
Christian asked, watching her struggle.
"I'm just a little sore, that's all. The operation took something out of me," she explained.
Once inside, Mom ignored Dad's suggestion that she go to her room and refused his request that she sit down and rest. Instead, she headed straight for the kitchen and started opening up cabinets.
"I'ma make us a nice brunch, and you're gonna help me," she said to Christian as she scanned the refrigerator.
"Are you sure?" he asked.
"Yes, I'm sure," she huffed. "All I've done for 2 days is sit in bed and eat nasty hospital food. I need to do something, but I'm gonna need you to help me. Can you do that?"
Christian nodded. Nevaeh noticed her dad shaking his head and rubbing his temples as if he suddenly had a bad headache.
"Come on, Amaya. You heard what the doctor said," Dad pleaded. "You need to be careful. I'll be careful, Julius, Mom snapped, but then her face softened. Christian and Nevaeh will make sure of it, but I gotta do this, okay? Mom's eyes flashed with determination. Dad sighed and nodded reluctantly. Nevaeh, grab eggs and butter. Christian, get me a big bowl, Mom instructed. Nevaeh felt trapped between her mother's orders and the pained look on her father's face. She handed Mom the eggs just as Christian placed a blue mixing bowl in front of her. Dad crossed his arms. Tension filled the air like smog over the city. Nevaeh couldn't stand it. Guys, what's happening? She asked finally. Mom's back stiffened, but she didn't speak. For a long moment, the only sound was the wet crack of eggs smacking against the bowl. Amaya, please, Dad said in a low voice. We can't keep this a secret. Remember what you said? We talked about this. Mom took a deep breath and nodded slowly. You're right. You kids need to know what's what. It's not fair to keep you guessing. Nevaeh waited as her mother grabbed a fork and began scrambling the eggs in the bowl. Her brow furrowed as she worked, as if the effort required all her strength and concentration. They all watched as she slid the frying pan to the closest burner and turned on the stove. A blue gas flame hissed to life as Mom dropped a pat of butter into the pan and watched it melt. She then poured the eggs into the pan. They hissed and bubbled back at her. No what? Nevaeh asked, unable to wait any longer. What's going on? Mom clenched her jaw, but kept working. With one hand, she stirred the black pan with a spoon. With the other, she sprinkled in a handful of cheese and then a dash of salt. For a long minute, she cooked in silence before switching off the stove, grabbing the pan by its handle, and turning toward them. Well, when they removed my appendix, they found a shadow on my x-ray. A shadow? Christian repeated. The word seemed ominous. What's that mean? Nevaeh asked. Well, Mom said matter-of-factly, spooning scrambled eggs onto each plate. I took a bunch of tests, and it turns out I have pancreatic cancer. Her words hit like a bomb blast. Dad slumped. Christian's face twisted in confusion. An icy shiver crept down Nevaeh's back. Cancer. Nevaeh shuddered. A rush of awful images flooded through her mind. Frail people connected to machines or losing their hair, or worse. But they can fix it, right, Mom? Christian asked, his voice strained with worry. They got medicine, right? Or an operation? It's not really something that they can operate on, baby, Mom explained. She set the pan back on the stove and slumped in her chair, resting her hands on her midsection. But there are some treatments we can try, she stammered and glanced at Dad. He reached over and covered her fingers with his own, squeezing them gently. Even though the doctors say the cancer is spreading, she continued, they say it has metastasized. That's just a fancy word for gotten aggressive, but I can be aggressive too, Mom insisted in a bright voice. I'm going to fight it with everything I've got. Starting soon, I'll be doing chemo and radiation treatments at the hospital 3 times every week. We gotta go hard if I'm gonna beat it, and I am gonna beat it. That's all there is to that. So I don't want to hear any crying, and I don't want to see no sad faces. We're fine. I'm fine. It's fine. Got it? She locked eyes on each one of them, as if her stare alone would convince them that her words were true. Nevaeh noticed Christian seemed satisfied with her explanation. Okay, Mom. He smiled and nodded. Yet Nevaeh struggled in her mother's gaze. The words chemo and radiation echoed in her mind. An image of Mom as a sick and withered version of herself haunted her thoughts for a moment. Yet it seemed so unlikely. Mom was too strong, too big, too stubborn. Nevaeh had never seen her back away from any kind of fight. If anyone could beat cancer, it was her, right? Got it, Nevaeh replied, trying to sound positive and upbeat, almost like Classy K when she live-streamed. Mom eyed her as if she recognized Classy's tone and didn't quite approve. This is gonna be tough, guys, Dad cautioned, rubbing Mom's back. For your mother, for all of us. His voice wavered slightly, and he paused to clear his throat before continuing. There's gonna be lots of trips to the hospital and days when your mother won't feel good. We all gonna have to pull together to help. I'll be changing my work schedule so I can be around more during the day, and you kids will need to step up with chores or whatever Mom asks. You got that? Nevaeh and Christian nodded as Dad wiped something from his eye. Together, they ate their eggs in silence, pretending everything was the same as before Mom said the words, pancreatic cancer. After brunch, Nevaeh escaped to her bedroom and closed the door. She sat down on the edge of her bed and pulled out her phone, her fingers itchy to find out more. Pancreatic cancer. The words rattled in her mind like dice in a cup. Her parents had made it sound as if everything was all right. And that probably meant it wasn't, Nevaeh concluded. She Googled the words and an endless list of links appeared. One was from a big-name hospital she had heard of. She took a deep breath and tapped on it. Her phone lit up with text. The pancreas is a gland behind the stomach. It produces chemicals that break down food. Nevaeh scrolled with her thumb, her eyes scanning the paragraphs looking for answers. Pancreatic cancer has no symptoms early on. It is often found too late for surgery. She remembered Mom saying her cancer couldn't be operated on. That was why she was getting radiation. She skimmed further, looking for something positive. The word palliative wasn't one she knew, but it appeared in the treatment section, so she scrolled to it. Palliative care is given to patients to ease pain before death. Nevaeh's heart sank to her stomach. She dropped her phone as if it had bitten her. No, she thought. There wasn't any reason to talk about death. Was there? Nevaeh's bedroom suddenly felt like it was spinning. Her palms grew cold and clammy. She picked up the phone and did a new search for the other word Mom had used to describe her illness. Metastatic, or something, she recalled. Nevaeh wasn't sure how to spell it, but autocorrect took over, and soon her phone pulled results for metastasized pancreatic cancer. She discovered right away that metastasized meant spread. Mom's cancer had spread to different parts of her body. Nevaeh felt the blood drain from her hands. Once the cancer metastasizes to other parts of the body, most pancreatic cancer patients live less than a year. It was too much to take in. How could it be true? Aside from her illness the other day, Mom seemed as strong and tough as ever. The article had to be wrong, Nevaeh decided. It knew nothing about Mom or how much of a fighter she was. Maybe it was fake, too. Fake news, like people were always saying about the internet. Nevaeh clung to this idea like a lifeline. Buzz. Her phone suddenly vibrated with notifications. A post on Instagram was getting lots of views from people she followed. Grateful for the distraction, Nevaeh opened the app, surprised that she recognized the background in the shaky video. The girls in gym shorts, the familiar bleachers, and the gritty red track were all unmistakable. It was Bluford High. The clip went in and out of focus before locking in on two girls racing. A muscular girl with thick brown legs streaked into the frame. Her arms were bent into sharp angles and pumping like pistons as she sprinted around the curve of the track. She seemed to be going impossibly fast, too fast to catch, until another girl appeared in the frame. This girl was taller and more slender, and her long strides gobbled up the track's coarse surface with every step. Her eyes were locked on the girl in front of her with a fierce determination that seemed to eclipse everything else. She sped around the track until she was only feet away from the first girl when they crossed the finish line. She ran so hard, she didn't seem to notice the hoots and cheers of classmates erupting at the finish. Nevaeh blinked in surprise. Of course, the first girl was Jonique, but that second girl burning down the track was her. Someone had snuck a phone onto the track and recorded their race from last week's gym class. There were three comments on the video, too. Two were almost identical. That girl's fast as lightning. Three lightning emojis. Get it, long legs. But the last one hit like a slap. She looks like a skeleton trying to dance. Five skull emojis. Maybe it was the news about Mom's condition or all the scary information she had just read. But suddenly, Nevaeh snapped. Fury and outrage boiled in her chest. Who would say such a mean thing about her? Nevaeh looked at the name of the person who posted the comment. Jonique Queen 11. It was Jonique. Nevaeh was sure of it. I could have beat you, she yelled at the phone, as if Jonique could hear. With shaking fingers, Nevaeh typed a response. Next time, astonished face emoji. She hit send, her heart pounding and her breath coming fast, as if she was circling the track all over again. For a moment, it felt good to have answered Jonique on the post. But then a reply appeared under her comment. Name the date, girl. It was from Joni Queen 11. A second later, another appeared. Unless you scared. Rage flared and bubbled in Nevaeh's chest and coursed through her fingertips. She had ignored Jonique's rudeness all year, but for some reason, she couldn't do it anymore. Rather than walk away, Nevaeh wanted to race her right now. Tomorrow, she wanted to answer. But before she could reply, Jonique posted again. This time, it was the image of the leaderboard from last month's All-City competition. Jonique's name was posted first under the mile winners with a time of 5 minutes, 47 seconds. 5:47 to go around the track four times? Nevaeh had barely gone around it once, and it had taken everything she had to catch up to the girl. How could she possibly beat her? Nevaeh, Mom called out. Get off your phone and help your brother straighten up this kitchen. I'm supposed to be taking it easy. 1 minute, Nevaeh yelled back, her fingers twitching to respond. Not 1 minute, now. Let's not do this again, Nevaeh. Feeling a stab of guilt, Nevaeh quit the app and stormed out of her bedroom, unable to shake Jonique's last words. Unless you scared.